Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, January 22nd, 2009. It is now 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620, 646-652-4620, or email us anytime, comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. If you are listening to a rebroadcast, you may also phone in your comments to area code 918-919-0101. I encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com. And that two is a numeric two. In his weekly newsletter, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. Folks, it's the best in the business. It gives you a perspective of what is going on so you can prepare yourself. Don't get left short-handed in this tumultuous market. It's a very, very dangerous market that we're in right now. Financially, we're on the precipice of economic collapse, and it could happen any day. It's possible. It is very, very possible. It's becoming more possible every day. You can also listen to Andy's commentary on ContraryInvestorsCafe.com. Please do so. Lastly, I would like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm slowly but surely getting my voice back. However, it is not 100% back. After this broadcast, I'll probably have to go through rehabilitation for a couple of days and not speak at all. So I'll try to do the best that I can, and hopefully in the next couple of weeks I'll be back to true form. When I broadcast, I have to get really into it, or I have a very difficult time doing it. And I know many of my listeners have mentioned that to me, and you're absolutely correct. And I want to say thank you so much for so many of the complimentary emails that I've received. Well, today I want to discuss a little bit about the Barack Obama's inauguration speech. I fully realize that when this type of speech is given, it's given to the general public, that it's not a speech where they outline facts, figures, and numbers. But it should give us a clear indication as to where this president is going to take us. And it can be in the most broad terms possible. One thing it cannot be, and that's contradictory. You can't say white and then black. You can't say blue and then green, because then it confuses people. And I think the audience out there, how many people were there, and the place was, I mean, there may have been over a million people there. I think that audience was confused. And I'll tell you why. I had expected cheers and accolades throughout the entire speech. I mean, cheering and applauding after each comment. And yet, except for when he came on and when he left, only once did they applaud. And I suspect that the audience was as confused as I was. However, I was not disappointed. I thought it was a fabulously presented speech. I'm telling, technically, it was beautifully done, beautifully orchestrated. I'm not talking about the content. Now, when we get to the content, I think we have a problem. And I think the people who were sitting there had a problem with the content, because they did not hear what they expected to hear. Now, quite frankly, they didn't know what to expect. They didn't know what a person can say. They took it upon themselves to project Barack Obama as their savior-in-chief. I'll say this again. They took it upon themselves to project Obama as their savior and in chief. All right? Not the commander-in-chief, the savior. And they have elevated him to that level. Now, once you do that, you expect people to save you. You would expect that him to get for that person to get up and have some magical words. This audacity of hope that they all had, so that they would feel that they are now elevated. They are now free from burdens of whatever they may be. They can be anything, and it's unlimited as to what those burdens can be. Yet they sat there and they heard about the hard times to come and how we've got to pull ourselves up from our bootstraps. That's not what the audience wanted to hear. Also, what he said was very contradictory. On one hand, he's talking about how America was built, how our forefathers worked their fingers to the bone, he talked about. And then on the other hand, he talks about government intervention and government programs. It was a little bit confusing. You didn't know exactly what he was saying. And I personally think, that audience was very disappointed. Now, I saw an opinion poll which showed Barack Obama to be 83%, had an 83% approval rate. Now, you can only go one place from there. You can't have a 100% approval rate, because there's always a certain number of people. Even if he was the most perfect person in the world, you couldn't get more than 90 or 95. So he only has one place to go, and that's down. And I think that started right then and there. Now, he did do one good thing. He suspended all of the Guantanamo Bay action against the occupants there, and I think he'll close that down. I think that's one promise he has to keep. But I think beyond that, he's going to have a heck of a problem. You know, he talked about peace in Afghanistan during his speech. But wait a minute. Throughout this entire campaign, he was talking about reducing our troop presence in Iraq and increasing our troop presence in Afghanistan. Now, if he's talking about peace in Afghanistan via a larger contingency of troops to jam peace down some dictator's throat, right? That's the same old game. It's really interesting as to the box I think that he placed himself in. Now, I'd like to just pick out, and this is going to be sort of at random, some of the phrases that he used. He says, during difficult times, people remain faithful to the principles of our forefathers. Now, Once he said that, what did our forefather say? I mean, he made it sound like the forefathers are parroting exactly what his program was. Well, the forefathers were the total antithesis of what his program was. That was one of his first comments, and that confused the heck out of me. The forefather says we will have a free nation with no government intervention. The government has no power. It's the power of the people. Go home and go to sleep, Mr. President. We don't need you. And then as he's talking, he's taking on dictatorial powers. Now, that doesn't make any damn sense. Either we're going to be a free nation or we're not going to be a free nation. Now, he references a free nation, but he projects a nation in slavery. A nation run by large government in concert with large corporations. That's a fascist form of government. I don't think, Mr. Obama, that our forefathers intended this government to be a fascist form of government. And please save me that, well, it's a new time. And he says the challenges are real. Well, challenges are real. When we have a challenge, yes, and we all have challenges. I personally have many challenges, just personally with my health, for example. We all have challenges. You're not telling me anything. Would he have said something like, our challenges are unreal? And I had no idea what he meant by that our challenges are real. You mean the people who don't have jobs and see the economy tanking says, oh, this is not real? This is an illusion? I will wake up in a few minutes and be filthy rich. And then drink some mint juleps next to my swimming pool. And he wants us to have hope over fear. Hope over fear. Hell no, you don't want hope over fear. Just think of that for a moment. I mean, fear, just enough fear. You know, if we have fear, we act. We're afraid. We'll do something. If we have hope, we sit there and wait for something to happen. And this is exactly, folks, what he wants the people to do. Don't do anything. Don't become independent of the government. Don't go out there and do stuff for yourself. Just sit there and be hopeful. Eventually, I will work out a government program that'll enslave you. Now, that one really got to me. Because if you really think about it, hope over fear. I don't want hope. I want to be fearful, so I act. But he doesn't want people to act on their own. He wants them to be committed to the government, to a government program. Because his presidency would be over if, in fact, everyone said, oh, Mr. President, forget about the stimulus package. We don't need you. That's what we should be doing. We don't need you, Mr. President. Oh, by the way, folks, my name is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. We have 5 open lines. I know it's early in the morning, but please do call in, even with a comment, even to tell me I'm nuts, because I probably am. Our number is 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. If you're listening to this on a rebroadcast, you can send me comments to comments@libertytalkradio.com, or you can call them into area code 918-919-0101. Let me tell you something about that telephone number. It is a telephone number, a computerized telephone number. I get it on my computer. And I just realized there were 31 messages that I had on there that I did not pick up because I didn't know how to use it. And today I'm going to answer all those messages. So please call in. I will be checking in every day. And I've just learned how there was a little red flag in the corner. I didn't know what that red flag was for. And that meant I had a call and I didn't know that. Okay, now. So we don't want... Now, sure, we don't want to walk around morose and say, well, you know, everything is terrible. No, but we want to be fearful. Because fear prompts us into action. And hope. Hope just makes us sit there and just hope that somebody else will do something for us. Now, that's my interpretation. Now, obviously, I have hope and fear, but I guess sometimes I have too much fear. But that's why I get things done. And we got to get people to get things done. And And he says he wants to proclaim an end to false promises. Well, my goodness gracious, his entire campaign was built on false promises. How dare you? I'm sure when the people listened to that, they went, what is he talking about? I want those false promises. They gave me what? Hope. Now I'm getting fearful. And I think what the audience did, the audience went from hope to fear with him. They said, uh-oh, I gotta do something, you know? And it says, time has come to renew our enduring spirit. What does that mean? I have no idea. Believe me, I have absolutely wonderful words. It is time now for, to renew our enduring spirit. I wish I gave that speech. Man, people were applauding all over the place. And you know, he never got an applause on that. They just stood there and looked at him. They go, what do you mean, the spirit? What are you going to do for us? I thought the economy was going to be fine now, and somehow I didn't have to go to work tomorrow morning. You know, I mean, there was these expectations. And the problem is that people didn't even know what the expectations were. And he muddied the waters even further by being vague and being contradictory. And he says, makers and doers and risk takers, I guess. Those are the leaders. Those are the attributes that lead us to prosperity. And I'm sorry if I'm not using the exact words. But he says, makers, doers, and risk takers or risk makers. I wrote that down. You know, are the leaders to prosperity. And yes. Well, wait a minute. Government programs. There's no risk in a government program. I mean, you don't have to be a doer if all of a sudden the government says, okay, here, take a shovel and start digging. We're going to build a highway. And you're not making anything. You're just doing worthless stuff. Stuff that the marketplace is not demanding that has to get done. So I don't even know why he included that in his speech. It didn't belong there, Mr. Obama. Take it out. Get that speech over again and take this stuff out. Listen to me. And he says, starting today, we may need to dust ourselves off to remake America. I got a real problem with it. I need to dust myself off to remake America. Well, quite frankly, we don't have to dust ourselves off. What we need, you know what he didn't mention, is that we need to eliminate government and government intrusion and government programs. And the words that I never heard him say, he never talked about freedom, liberty, and our inalienable rights. And the servitude to government has got to end. I didn't hear that, Mr. Obama. Why not? I need to dust myself off. Go to hell. You dust yourself off. Now, this is coming from a guy who committed himself to be senator of a state. Apparently a very important job. Requires all his attention for the people of the state of Illinois, where he's from. And yet he took 2 years off campaigning. Didn't even have to go to his office for one day. Campaigned day and night for 2 years. Stayed away from his job for 2 years. And you want to know something? Nothing happened. State of Illinois is still there. What does that prove? We don't need government. We just need representatives to ensure that our freedom and our rights and our liberties are kept. And they're not infringed upon. But he walked away from his job and still nothing changed. Could you imagine if you were just a construction worker? Even the lowest level, an entry-level construction worker, where you were the guy who had to dig the holes for the foundation, and you didn't show up for 2 years, would that hole get dug? Hell no! And this character, this sham, this fraud of a person, is telling these people who work every day, or who are looking for work every day, to dust themselves off to remake America. Well, I would suggest, Mr. Obama, you really reflect on yourself and your job and the fact that you didn't show up to your job for 2 years. While, and let me add, while the people of your state and the people of this country paid your salary. That angers me. Folks, my name is Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. You're listening to a rant and rage on Mr. Obama's inaugural speech. Our phone number is 646-652-4620. I'd love for someone to call in. I know it's early in the morning. And around the world, please, people from China, Indonesia, Spain, Lisbon, come on, we've gotten calls from you guys before. Call in 646-652-4620. I sure wish this was a toll-free line, but I'm not in charge of that. I wish it was toll-free. I would pay for everyone that came in. Anyone who calls in this morning will get a free Liberty Talk Radio t-shirt, I promise, in your proper size. Beautiful. I got beautiful red these days. The dark maroon, rather. Wine color. Beautiful shirts. Call in 646-652-4620. Of course, you can call in if you listen to a rebroadcast to 918-919-0101. Email me anytime to comments at libertytalkradio.com. Now, I think this guy is a fraud. To tell people we have to work our forefathers worked themselves, our fathers and our grandfathers worked their selves to the bone. Well, what have you been doing for the past 2 years? You've been paid to campaign. That's not working yourself to the bone. Boy, do I get angry at crap like that. And now he's, and then after that he says, what the government should do is create new jobs, lower the cost of health care, develop clean cars, and improve our schools. Now, wait a minute. That's not the job of government. Is it the job? Where in the Constitution does it say the government's job, you know, Article 3, responsibility of the government is to develop clean cars? It doesn't say that. Nowhere does it say that. It says, basically it says, stay out of the car business. It's none of your business. Now, how the hell are him and his cronies going to develop clean cars? The marketplace will develop clean cars. I can guarantee you that. I don't know. There was not much about the speech that I liked. And then he says, after that, he says, some would question the scale of our ambition. You bet I do. You bet I do. You bet. I tell you, I question everything that you do. I question everything you do. I question everything that Bush did. I question everything that Clinton did. Every single one of you. You dictators. You fascist dictators. Every single one of you. Question, he says, the question is not if the government is too big or too small, but is it effective? No, that's not the question. The only way the government could be effective, if it just goes back to the roots, like you said in the first part of your speech, which you totally obliterated at the end of the speech. And that is the only job of government is to protect the freedoms, rights, and liberties of the citizens, instead of placing restrictions and legislation on our citizens. You never mentioned that, did you, Mr. Obama? You didn't say we're going to free the people up. Everyone should do whatever the hell they want to do, provided it doesn't infringe on the equal rights of others. And we'll ensure that our court systems enforce that. And our police departments enforce that. And that if a foreign nation comes in and wants to take over this country, we'll have an army to protect us. And that's it. Period. There is no more. And then he says, America is a friend of the entire, I'm sorry, I can't read my own handwriting. Would you believe this? And then he talked about terrorism. And this is the part that really bothered me. Of course, we will not falter. We will fight to the bitter end. Now, wait a minute. You're not fighting. You're sending the sons and daughters of its citizens to foreign soil, to invade foreign sovereign nations, to fight a war on terror, a euphemism. And never does he mention the fact that the world perceives us as the greatest terrorist, because we've bombed the hell out of more countries than any other country in the world, any other nation in the world. Did you mention that you might even consider closing some of the 761 military bases in 151 foreign countries and bring home something like 510,000 troops who are in those bases so they can be home with their families? Oh, no, that wasn't mentioned at all. Oh, because that's for our national defense. And you know it's not for our national defense. And it's costing so much money, we all have to work ourselves to the bone to pay for your crap. Why didn't you mention that? And let me tell you something. I give them credit for closing down or doing anything towards Guantanamo. But that's small potatoes. That is a grain of sand on the beach, folks. It's easy to say, well, we're going to suspend some of the things we did in Guantanamo. Big deal. Close down the whole damn place and close down 761 military bases. And I'd say, that's a big deal and bring everyone home. And make friends with the rest of the world. He could have said that. He could have easily said that. But he didn't, folks. And he didn't. And that's what confused everyone. Let's see if I can read my handwriting here. He says, people are sacrificing, but no, oh, geez. I'm sorry, I can't even read my own handwriting because I was trying to write so fast when I was doing it. And here's a few. He says, greed and responsibility by some, collective failure by others. You know, what do you mean? How about greed and irresponsibility by the government? Why not did you say that? Why couldn't you say that? And collective failures by others. Collective failures by the government. Why couldn't you say that? And he said, oh, this is the one I love. He says, the world has changed and we must change with it. Now, that's the dumbest statement of the world, because you can take it two ways. You can say, the world is changing every second of the day. I mean, there's something changing every day. Big deal. We know that. That's a natural form of progression. We're changing. But in reality, nothing has changed. I did not suspend the law of economics. Neither did you, Mr. Obama. No one else did. When I got up this morning, I lived in the same house with the same wife, same car. You know, everything's the same. Nothing really has changed. The principles have not changed. And you are trying to change the principles. And for that, I condemn you and I condemn your speech. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle. You feel free, liberated, your life is in your own hands. But with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. The government is like training wheels. Your ride is controlled, and that isn't any more fun. Ron Paul has a sign at his desk that says, don't steal. The government hates competition. With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.